Ladies and gentlemen, it is now showtime. We ask that you turn all your cell phones to the off or vibrate mode. And please welcome to the stage, we are libertarians Chris, Greg, and Jeremiah.
Thank you, everybody. My name is Chris Spangle. I am the host of We Are Libertarians. To my left, as always, is Greg Lenz. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Coming up on stage to join us during our live debate preview is Jeremiah Morrill. Jeremiah, how are you?
On 3 minutes notice, I'm doing great.
Well, we have some things to talk to you about. Did you have a good weekend, Jeremiah?
I had a very good weekend.
Did you?
How about you, Greg?
I had a delightful weekend.
Now, for those of you, there's a lot of new people here, which is surprising. So thank you to all the new people that came out. Basically, here's how this works. This is a live libertarian podcast. I know, control your excitement. And we will preview the debate a little bit. We've got a lot of new people watching on We Are Libertarians' Facebook page as well. And we generally chit-chat a little bit, and then we'll get to the debate preview.
Catch up on each other's lives.
Catch up on each other's lives. You know what I did on Saturday, Greg?
I like to think that you had a delightful Saturday, very relaxing, a lot of just some you time.
Right. I watched 27 episodes of Pawn Stars.
Well, that is you time if there is you time.
Oh, after 27 episodes of Pawn Stars, you never know what's going to come through that door.
I sense like you're a little bit perturbed by the fact that you were alone watching 27 episodes.
I've had seven 5-hour energies in the back. I'm very tired and look at this. I'm like Hillary Clinton up here. I've got tremors all over the place. And, you know, I'm just sitting relaxing on Saturday, thinking about how much I love all my friends and what a good time we all have when we get together. See Aaron's Snapchats come in. And what do I see? I see Jeremiah and Aaron and Greg, and they're all having a great time.
We like each other.
I know.
You just can't keep us apart.
What were you guys doing?
I had a delightful Saturday. Yeah. I was enjoying a wonderful tailgate. Jeremiah was kind enough to extend a formal invitation and let me know that he would be having a small get-together of his closest friends.
All of my friends, really.
All your friends, one might say.
All.
Yeah.
And while we were doing it, you know, it just totally escaped us that, I guess all your friends were there.
I didn't get an invite at all. I don't know what was going on. Did Bittner get an invite?
No.
Because if Bittner got an invite and I didn't, I'm going to be really
Bittner
pissed.
Bittner was out of state. Saturday, Bittner would have been
in
New Hampshire,
invite,
so he couldn't
but
make
he had not
it.
An existing
he had to
obligation.
Send his regrets.
Am I the new Bittner?
Never, Spangle.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Are you a little bit, is this bugging you?
I'm mad. I'm not mad. I'm hurt.
Why are you hurt?
I'm hurt. Because
you didn't get any of Jeremiah's meat in your mouth?
No, I have a fear of abandonment, and I fear my friends are abandoning me. Can we have a touching moment here on the show? What happened? No, don't touch me. No.
You know, some things are spontaneous. I don't really know. One minute I was having a nice quiet barbecue, and then all my friends were there.
All.
You son of a bitch.
So while you were at home having your Pawn Stars marathon.
I thought you didn't like sports.
I don't.
Yeah, so
sportball.
Right. No, yeah. I don't like sports at all.
Okay. You just like to get upset over nothing.
How
did things go with Chumley? Did he
Chumley's in jail. But he wasn't during those episodes. I mean, I wouldn't have come had you invited me because it is a sporting event, but I was very upset.
Well, technically we had like a delightful spread and a full bar.
A full bar.
A full bar.
A full
and
bar.
There was beer. I mean, everything you could want.
Anything. Anything and anything.
What? Doritos?
Oh, not Doritos.
Doritos.
They were like organic kale chips.
Organic kale chips?
It was classy.
He wasn't grilling, though, was he?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah. We had the propane.
He
high
fired
BTUs.
Up.
All right.
Chopped onions and peppers with a nice skirt steak that he put together.
You used to make me that. You used to make me fajitas, Jeremiah.
We were fajita friends.
Once. I know. Then you got a girlfriend, and now all the fajita friends are gone.
I've moved on.
I bet she got an invite.
Somebody else gets to have the
she
fajitas.
Chopped the peppers and the onions.
Well,
Oh, that's right, because it was a full bar.
It was a full bar, yeah.
Which you would have hated.
There were garnishments.
You would have hated it.
So what you're saying is hoes before bros. Exactly. Right, okay. well, this is going well.
We have a self-identified hose section right here.
Well, it wouldn't be a libertarian podcast without a hose section.
Let's not call them ho-ro, okay?
Yeah!
Don't white knight for your girl, okay? Although, what would it be a libertarian podcast without a white knight?
Oh, my God. We are the white knight party.
Well, we are gathered here.
We're just not even going to admit that somebody...
Shut up, Harry.
Who put Harry in front?
Yeah.
So you can see him.
This isn't Birmingham.
Stop. Stop. This is being recorded. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Trump's the nominee.
I'll write him a letter from the jail.
So we are gathered here for a very exciting night. This is the Nerd Super Bowl.
I swear, this is Christmas Eve for me. I am so giddy with excitement. It's incredible.
Yeah, we are gathered here with tens and tens of our friends here at Morty's, and we are going to, on the big screen, show the debate after this.
Isn't that screen wonderful?
Look at this beautiful screen.
That's as big as Rob Kendall's board.
Yeah. But that's non-existent, Greg.
Exactly.
Oh.
In the green room, we've just been talking about all of Greg's favorite debates in the past and how Jim Lehrer always gets him fired up. And
yeah.
The great moderators of the past.
I'm expecting a Reagan, I will not let my opponent's youth or inexperience play a role in this presidential election.
But see, that's witty. That takes...
It'll be different.
Thought.
It'll be different.
Right.
I can tell you...
We're going to free Poland tonight.
That she will shit her pants live on stage.
where should we start? Should we start with the moderator, Hillary, Gary,
well,
Trump?
Are you two good?
No, but we'll work through it.
We'll move on.
So,
2020, things
when
will
I'm
be
best
healed.
Man at the wedding, he'll make it up to me.
I wasn't best man at your first wedding.
He's proposing next weekend. And you won't be at the third or the fourth.
Chris was very progressive, though. He had a black Muslim Republican as his best man
that's
at his first
right.
wedding.
Well,
I didn't even get an invitation to that one.
At least I was in the room for that. Yeah.
Were you?
I was there.
Yeah. Maybe I should have beef.
Yeah, maybe. Let's flesh this out.
You need racism insurance, Greg.
That's
mine.
True.
Mine's Abdul, Harry. Although the premiums are coming up, and I'm going to have to go to the pawn shop or something. So. Oh. First of the month, Harry's racism insurance is due.
You don't auto bill, bro?
He only takes Bitcoin now.
He stopped taking checks from me. They started bouncing like Donald Trump's hair as he ran down the beach. So tonight is the big night. It is moderated by Lester Holt. And could there be a more thankless job than being the moderator of a presidential debate in 2016?
I don't know. I think that... Yes, it's quite the task, but as far as controlling the debate goes, it is going to be quite the task. But you don't have to ask the deepest questions to make this thing good.
No.
You don't need to have a comprehensive knowledge of public policy or news or current events or anything like that. Like, this debate is not going to be an intellectual debate.
You really could put the amount of prep that we put into this
Did you
the
not
show,
prep?
For instance... Well, we talked for 10 minutes before the show started in the back, and that's how we put the show together. That's why none of you are laughing. So,
but you paid $5.
And you'll get every dollar's worth. He took the week off to prep a little bit. He went through the questions.
He didn't exactly take the week off.
He didn't? I thought he took the week off of his nightly news program.
Oh, yeah. I saw him do several appearances, though, like
sure.
media appearances.
Yeah, to promote the debate. Which
it's like his Super Bowl. I mean,
he does the nightly news.
He does. He took over for Brian Williams.
That is very progressive.
After Brian Williams landed from his trip to the moon, and then he won the U.S. Open and beat Serena Williams, he had the opportunity to retire and go to MSNBC.
History will remember that Brian Williams actually
did
this debate.
Hosted right. the debate.
Yeah, he hosted this debate.
I was there.
Well, he built several ships that... he built the Pinta, the Santa
Nina.
Marina,
yeah.
and the Nina.
Yeah. All of the ships are going back.
Yeah.
Look at you and your overseas. Racist American history knowledge.
He seems to know all of the white history just
I know,
fine.
Right?
America.
What about when my people were here?
1492, the Americas were made great again, right, Greg?
No, they weren't. You brought the flu and Italians, which are lazy.
See, for you new people, Greg's Native American, so he's fully triggered right now.
I am, because this country was great.
That's why
Donald
he's wearing
Trump.
A Braves hat. He's a true pioneer for American Indian freedom. That's
this
why he
is
wears
an olive branch.
Right.
This is an olive branch.
Walking around.
Hank Aaron.
Right. Hank Aaron.
I'm progressive.
I know. You're very progressive. You progress from Stalin to Hitler.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So Lester, he took over the nightly news, and he's been prepping. I agree. He doesn't have to ask the toughest questions.
No.
There's been a lot of talk about fact-checking, which there is a lot of hand-wringing amongst the millennials who write for The Atlantic and The Daily Beast and Mediaite. Who's going to fact-check? Should Hillary fact-check? Should Donald Trump fact-check Hillary? Should Lester fact-check? Well, Bloomberg's going to have a live fact-checking feed on their feed. All of that's ridiculous, because to me, political facts are what you make them. I've been around politics long enough to know that everybody has their own set of facts.
Anything with numbers is negotiable. In this.
Sure.
It's all about the show. It's entirely going to be about the show tonight.
Like, I don't know. Where do you start? Like, you have Donald Trump and you have Hillary Clinton.
The most notorious liars of all time, right?
Right, and they don't really have any policy overlaps in their messaging. Like, he wants to make America great again, and she doesn't. But you can't exactly, like, start from that.
Right.
Like, that if Lester Holt asks Hillary Clinton, or former Secretary of State Clinton, why don't you want America to be great again? Then I'll be really excited. But that isn't going to happen.
Right.
You know, what's going to happen is
you want the burning questions of today answered. Why don't you want America to be great again?
Why wouldn't you?
But that's not a real question, Greg.
It's going to be all about Hillary's tone tonight. That's what's going to happen. If she sounds like she's yelling at the audience, she's going to lose the debate. So if she's in her real high pitch, you know,
shrill,
would
you say bitchy?
His girlfriend's in the crowd. He's not going to admit to some.
I'm tap dancing and strutting all around the facts today.
He still loves it to her. I support women's rights, suffrage, woo,
and less.
Right. Then they get married, and he's like, no, you can't go to vote.
You
That's
don't own
man's
property.
Work.
Yeah.
Voting booth, is that what kind of kitchen is that? That's a direct quote, Sarah. He said that to me.
It's a quote.
Sarah,
this
is the best CZ you're ever going to find. I will give you, it's a tough task, because Lester Holt is going to want to make this, as a member of the left, I mean, it's without question, this guy is a New York media establishment type. He's going to want to make it a public policy debate and try to raise the level of rhetoric probably to what the American people deserve.
Right.
It doesn't mean they're going to consume it, because if they try to make it a public policy debate, it is going to tank. At the end of the day, Donald Trump cannot win a public policy debate. He can only win a debate where he can pin her as a liar.
The sure. opportunity for a public policy debate went away when they chose to only put up two podiums.
True.
But wouldn't...
what are you trying to say?
For
Johnson Shills. Never forget he was a Republican
staff.
Governor first.
So we are entering a period... Once you get to debate season every year, you enter a period that I like to call the settling. And that's when people flirt with the idea of voting Libertarian, and then they get to debate season, and after once we get into late September, early October, that's when everybody starts to settle right back into their old positions, right back into their old scumbag habits, scumbag Republican habits.
Are you pointing at me?
I'm not pointing at you at all. I'm just looking
Jeremiah
at you.
Jeremiah was a highly involved member of the Tea Party Express much before I was.
But we made him Libertarian again.
I've got a job. I'm managing a campaign for governor. You,
that's right.
Yeah. You seem to just
podcast.
Be...
His Libertarian dick is much, much bigger. He has no problem in that area.
True or false? 5 minutes ago, he was saying, if I voted for John Gregg, the Democrat in Indiana, it'd be much better for my job.
Oh, it'd be better for me, yeah.
But
yeah.
He was using that as a for instance.
I'm so principled, I'll vote against what's good for me to be good for Indiana.
Do you want a cookie?
Do you
a
want
Liberty cookie?
Do you want a sound bite? So some of us on the stage are settling back into old habits.
Like?
Republicanism.
What have I not promoted Gary?
The green room about 5 minutes ago when he started asking me, where's my Aleppo?
I asked you who Al Eppo was. I wanted to know.
Who made the meme? There was a bombing in
Chelsea.
I'm
sorry. Am I being lectured by Libertarian Party of Indiana leaders right now?
This
is so original and new. I've never encountered this before.
If we were trying to be condescending, I would have invited Bittner up here.
No, Bittner is a national Libertarian Party member, and there's a Jew that's in charge of it, so I'm good.
Wow, that was...
He called me a shitty Jew.
You lost the audience just now, I think, except for Niece. Niece is jumping up and down applauding.
Yeah, dog.
That's yep. James Niece with three parentheses on each side. No, you made a meme with Gary Johnson that said there was a bombing in Chelsea, and he said...
We've got to get her out of there, and I didn't make it. I reposted it. And it's funny because it could have been true.
It could have been.
Well, if you don't pay attention to all of the facts when you see things are happening with Chelsea and Charlotte, you think there's a lot of women in trouble.
So let's just, I don't know that we're going to believe a lot of what we hear tonight. So Politico fact-checked both candidates. According to Politico's 5-day analysis, Trump averaged one falsehood every 3 minutes and 15 seconds for over nearly 5 hours of remarks. Hillary Clinton, in just 1.5 hours of remarks last week, averaged one falsehood every 12 minutes. Donald Trump has gone back and forth on 20 major issues. He has reversed his positions 117 times.
They evolved.
Evolved.
They're
my
sharp.
Ass.
It's like sharpening a blade. You're just improving each time.
Are you really going to fault the man for getting new information and changing his opinion?
Were you upset at Mitt Romney in 2008 for updating his opinion?
On 20 issues?
No, he's the flipping Mormon.
On 20 issues, 117 times since the beginning of the campaign. We're not even going back to 1993.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Are we really upset that politicians lie to us and pander and change their positions when the political positions change? Like, should we be upset? Yes. Are we shocked?
No. But when
will
somebody
we ever
just
be shocked when a politician blatantly lies and says, "That's popular. I'm going to go do this."
But what happens when the politician brands themselves as the great hope, the man who just tells it like it is?
I and I alone can fix it.
That's every 4
you
years.
You or him?
Donald Trump.
Right.
No, but are we? But I feel like you're upset that a politician is lying to you.
I'm not upset. I'm not shocked. I just don't think that he is.
But Gary's positions have changed.
Which ones?
Gary just changed on the carbon tax.
Okay.
Gary's changed on immigration.
How many times since the beginning of the campaign has Gary Johnson changed?
So it's an issue of degree, not principle.
No, I think that you're making the point that is absolutely true. You can evolve on positions, I think.
You have to.
I think that, like, for gay marriage, for instance, if you're a Republican, it doesn't... I think libertarians, we have always been 100% rock solid on LGBT rights.
Right.
Republicans, their base, because they're older, they weren't. So I think there were a lot of...
purely because of their age.
John Gregg is a perfect example. John Gregg is a politician. He's a political animal.
Right.
Here's somebody who 4 years ago was not supporting gay rights, and now it's politically expedient to be a different position.
Well, yeah. And there's a great piece about how he's evolved his views and
hell,
it makes
I'll
him
marry him.
Empathetic now.
Quiet down, wood nymph. What?
John Gregg, he evolved his position, so now it creates this heartwarming how John Gregg found the light in the last 4 years. No, nobody knows what he's going to think 4 years from now, but right now it's a great touching story about how he's embraced by the community that he was ignoring completely 4 years ago.
Right.
But that's my point. It's like it's like Donald Trump isn't the Antichrist because he's all of a sudden become a politician who is pandering and changing positions because that's the politically popular thing to do. That is no reason to crucify him. Does he lie a lot for a politician? Yeah, but being a politician means you're going to lie.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's hard to be harder on him than harder on Hillary Clinton.
So when do we go from evolving into lying?
I don't think you do. Because how can you actually tell until they govern?
So we have to elect him to find out what he's really
right. That's
like.
Thank you, Mike. I went apoplectic there for a minute. I was
you
so
do. No, but you really do.
Confounded
by... You have to pass it so you can know what's in it.
There is no telling what any individual with power will do until they have it.
I think that's not inaccurate.
Especially when you're a politician.
I think that if you look at Barack Obama, I think Barack Obama has a lot of beliefs that are opposite of what he's governed
with.
He
even passed stuff that he didn't do.
Right.
Right now, we've still got Guantanamo Bay open on day one. We're going to close it down and sign the executive order.
I feel very inspired right now by your analysis.
No, it's not an analysis. I'm just saying, like, do I love Donald Trump? No.
Yes,
what?
You do.
I don't.
You do too. Listen,
you've
I love...
You've changed your mind about Trump more than Trump's changed his mind on policy.
That's how you know right. I'm a Trump supporter.
I love Donald Trump because he appeals to the shit-throwing monkey inside of me.
Yes.
I just want him to walk outside, crap in his hand, and throw it right at her face, and then I will
laugh.
Yeah,
he's going to throw it over the wall. Right. He's going to throw it
over the wall. But as a serious-minded person who wants the best for the country, I know I can't vote for him just because he's a walking meme.
But even Gary wouldn't be. There isn't a choice in the presidential election that is going to change the bureaucracy and the apparatus.
Sure.
There isn't.
No, but Gary's the one guy that can be the sticking
point.
Gary
gives you a better chance. Libertarian movement, and he pushes the needle and continues the momentum. You put Gary Johnson in office on day one, that's a setback for liberty. He hasn't even thought about his administration. He didn't have an answer when asked point blank on 60 Minutes on who he would have in his administration.
Yeah, on that point, I totally
and
agree with you.
You want to talk about a salivating press? Wait until you talk about pushing old people off of a ledge and lowering Social Security benefits and phasing them out. You will be crucified if you lead with that.
Turned out okay for Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan represents one district. He doesn't lead a
country. James, who you will meet later, hates baby boomers, so he is for the genocide of everyone over
Goodbye,
the age
Grandma,
of 50.
Says James.
He's one of those genocide libertarians.
Right, yeah. He's for helicopters.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Gary, and I think that this is some tough medicine for libertarians, because it is. You look at the debate commission. The debate commission was made up by the Republicans and the Democrats. It's full of Republicans and Democrats.
It's a cartel.
It's a cartel. It's not. It's a private organization formed by two private institutions to control information to the public. It is absolutely a cartel. It was formed out of the response of Ross Perot to keep people like Ross Perot and Gary Johnson and Jill Stein out of the debates. It 100% is a cartel. Gary Johnson and Jill Stein were defined by polling. And a lot of the polling is
You can talk about the research methodology all day.
Here's how it goes. Hi, Jeremiah. How are you today?
I'm great, Chris.
I'm with XYZ Pollster.
Well, I'm under 35, so I'm going to hang up.
Yeah. So they don't poll 18 to 35, and they have a disproportionate number of them because they don't use cell phones. And internet polling is in its infancy. Now, Mr. Morrill... are you voting for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton for president?
Oh, I'm not voting for either of them.
Okay. Are you voting for Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, or other?
I guess I'll vote for Gary Johnson.
Okay. So we have to go through two steps to get to Gary Johnson. So that's one of the reasons that his poll numbers are so low.
Right.
So again, it's a hurdle. These five news organizations have done a much better job in 2016 of including libertarians in the debates. PPP flat out refused in 2012 to put Gary Johnson in the debates, yet they polled Mitt Romney. Evan, come on up here, because you're just going to shout out corrections on polling anyways. And nobody knows polling better than Evan McMahon. But in 2012, they included, what's the little girl from the TLC show?
The little girl from the TLC show.
You know,
this could go poor.
Sexism intensifies.
No. The chunky white trash one. Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah. Honey Boo Boo was included, but Gary Johnson.
Evan would have
I can't
known.
Believe I have to sit next to you.
Wow. Yeah.
You hate black people too?
So,
hey, by the way, didn't I get an invite to the thing Saturday?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch. Now, Evan, explain to us how...
Sorry you were busy. We actually really missed you.
How the polling has worked with Gary Johnson in 2016 versus 2012. I mean, it has been better, but explain why Gary Johnson was excluded from the debates.
So you have to hit the magic number of 15% aggregate over typically 4 to 5 polls from one polling company. And in 2012, they didn't even include any named candidate other than the Democrat and the Republican. On a couple of them, I think one included another category, but just on one. So now you look today in 2016, and they finally started including naming candidates, but only after you have indicated that you are not going to be voting for the top tier.
Well, and then what would happen is the media reports would only take that top tier. So the first line that was in the poll, that's what
those
NBC News would use,
right.
And they would never show the second question where Stein and Johnson were included in these current
polls.
Well,
and so there are a couple, like MSNBC has released a couple of the polls where they've put out, here's the top line when it's just Trump and Hillary. Here's the next when it's Trump, Hillary, Johnson, and Stein. So they have done that. But those polls also, most of the time, if not every single time, are excluding 18 to 34. 18 to 34 is the largest voting group or eligible voting
potential.
Group. Eligible voting group.
Yeah.
But they're not including them. And they say it's because it's not for because they don't have landline phones, which is actually not true, because when you look at the sampling data that they are using, even people over 35, they're still using cell phones. So the disqualifier that it's based on them not having landlines is complete and total horse crap.
But couldn't you make the argument that they're oversampling because they're actually, of those 18 to 35, they're sampling more than actual voting turnout numbers?
Not when it's zero, Greg.
And let me also say that Evan is the former executive director,
sabbatical
of the Libertarian National Campaign
until I get paid
campaign committee.
What do they call that?
What?
Furlough. He's on furlough.
Yeah.
I think that would be called a lawsuit.
So Evan and Atlas Liberty. Evan has worked with many Libertarian and Republican campaigns going, but he's like the only Libertarian Party political operative there is.
Since I was a little tiny, tiny little boy.
Right. So that's how he knows this stuff.
That's not true. You were a scumbag Republican once.
I started as a Democrat.
Yeah. And then you came to the good side.
He's just played all sides.
Then the Republicans offered me money.
Evan, you sure do play all sides.
I do. except for with women.
I'd like to hear more about your thoughts on women.
So, Evan, Gary Johnson, excluded from the debate. So
now, the thing that when you look at the numbers that are lining up, and actually I dug down deep into the 50-state poll where they had, 15%, or there were a total of, 15 states? Or 42 states that had Johnson over 10%, and there were two states that had Johnson at over 20%. And dialing into those numbers, it was actually surprising which some of the states were. Indiana was right at 12 or 13%, which was the same as Illinois, which I thought was kind of odd. I would have thought Indiana would have been higher than that. But the interesting thing, looking at those numbers, because that poll was actually pretty legitimate, when they were asking questions, they were actually doing top-tier question, which actually had all the candidates in it.
This is a big sample set, too.
It was huge. And so looking at that, I would think that the campaign would want to shift focus into the states that are right around 15%, but it doesn't seem like that's been happening, which is kind of sad.
I think that
it
they're...
Cost them.
So, well, because they're actually spending more time, energy, resources, and ad dollars in states that were already polling above 15%.
Yeah.
Which is, that's not,
it's crazy.
If you're trying to get into the first and second debate, because there was still time.
Sure.
You would shift resources into those handful of states that are in the 13% bracket.
Yeah, you tip them over the edge, and then you've got the qualifiers.
Yeah, right. And you would have at that point.
Yeah.
Well, no,
so this is where we leave the response. I mean, so the debate commission obviously has its own sins to answer
for.
Well,
and they're never, let's be honest, if Johnson hits 15% now, they're going to find some reason to say, well, it was after this date, or they'll find some reason to disqualify him. The thing that we were all looking for is him hitting that 15% and a plurality of polling prior to the announcement. That way you could turn around and say, see, they were never going to let him debate. He had already hit the number.
Yeah.
Now they have outs, so it'll be another 4 years before we get a chance.
Yeah, it's even more damage from it. Now, not only is he excluded tonight, I guess they're claiming that there's the opportunity that he can get into the second and third debate. I know that Weld is already boxed out of the VP debate. But
right.
the government, the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, yeah, that funds and makes a lot of decisions about the presidential transition teams, they're using the polling and saying, well, he didn't make the debate, so now we're not going to allow him to have any of the briefings that would have perhaps let him know about Aleppo.
That's a little bit different, because it's even if the standard for receiving the security briefings actually is based off of the numbers from the previous election cycle. It's just like public matching funds and things like that. That data is still based off of what the campaign did in 2012 or what the party did in 2012. So there was nothing that Johnson was going to do this cycle to be able to get those security briefings, but in 4 years that could change.
I had seen contrary reports to that.
There are other things, and when you're talking about the transition team, there's actually things that go into place prior to the election, with Secret Service teams, with event setups and things like that that are still publicly funded that a lot of people don't realize.
They don't have Secret Service at this point.
Johnson doesn't, no. But if they were polling at a higher number, they actually would hit that trigger to be able to get that. If they'd been in the debates, if they'd polled over a certain percentage.
It's not tied to his fundraising necessarily.
No.
It's just polling. So they're dependent upon private polling to
if we reach a certain status after the election, if we get a certain percentage, then there are certain things that are going to kick in, like presidential candidates will start getting those security briefings. They'll get Secret Service details. They'll get things like that that are automatic, which is going to suck, because when they do that, Secret Service will actually be at our convention,
right?
Our national convention.
They'd be able to stop any sort of shenanigans.
All right. Well, thanks to Evan McMahon for filling us in on that a little bit.
Was that so bad? Why?
So yeah, I think that.
Why don't you want America to be great again, Evan?
Right. The problem is that, so we talked a little bit about the debate commission, but I also think the Johnson campaign, as you heard, they weren't funding states where polling would tip over the top. And I also think that Johnson's performance in media, he has had a ton of media and he has performed better and has performed well at times, but he has also had a few missteps that I think when we talk to friends and family, they go,
that's been the problem.
He's not a serious candidate. He's reinforced that higher bar that we have to meet. Yeah, that guy.
Are you talking about the MSNBC interview?
Well, there's not just stuff like that, but I just think
the carbon tax was an issue.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing actually Brett's talked about a million times, is that's their justification. Like, that's all they need
to live up
to
the ultimate standard.
Right.
Right. And like, that's the thing, is like, we're a threat now.
Sure.
So the standard is higher, and it was okay when we were a cool and a novelty, but it isn't okay now.
Right.
And especially it's not okay when you're pulling from Democrats.
Sure.
You are a real threat, and you're a threat to the media class as well. And so the standard raises infinitely higher. And Aleppo's not a big deal. It was the best outcome, because otherwise no one would have talked about Gary's interview on MSNBC. But at the end of the day, there are a whole lot of people that is going to be their out. That is
Absolutely.
Going to be their wasted vote argument.
Sure.
And it's fine. It's whatever. Because at the end of the day, Gary's the only governor that's been an executive elected twice in a 2-1 Democratic state when he was a Republican.
Sure.
He's the most qualified for office. My concern is not Gary Johnson being the best candidate for office. He clearly is. On paper, intellectually, policy-wise, down just checklist.
Character-wise.
Yeah, character-wise, he's the checklist guy. My problem is, damn it, we got to start. You can't get asked that you don't have an administration ready to go. Because
mm-hmm.
that's assuming you're not going to win.
Right.
You have to have it on paper, and you have to say, this is our plan, this is what we're going to do. All you have to do is vote for us, and don't you dare have an out.
Sure.
I'm ready to go. This is how it's going to work. If you don't vote for me, that's your loss.
A lack of preparedness has been the main criticism from libertarians since January. And it seemed in the convention season, as he was going around to conventions, that's one of the reasons that Austin Peterson surged ahead, is that he just didn't seem like he was taking it as seriously as he should. There wasn't the discipline that a lot of libertarians. I don't know if it's that. It may be, but it's just a lack of preparation for certain things. And you know, in the 60 Minutes interview, which I thought by and large went well,
it was great. He's just that answer bugs me, because
he's
that's
just
assuming we're not going to win.
Yeah,
I will never assume that.
Right, he's undercut, and I think that is. Donald Trump does. He acts like he's going to win. Hillary acts like she's going to win. And
we have to
and
act
we
like
don't,
we're going to win.
I don't feel like when Gary Johnson says, oh, we're in it to win, we're going to win, that he means it.
then it's Mitt Romney's going to be director of OEMB.
Right.
Then Mitch Daniels is going to be my chief of staff. Then
right.
Adam Weld is going, or Bill Weld's going to run with these three policy initiatives, and this is what a co-presidency is going
right.
to look like. Rand Paul's going to be my secretary of defense. Ron Paul's going to be the secretary of the treasury. Boom, boom, boom.
Why
boom,
do you
boom.
Put that expectation on a libertarian president when you never get that from another president?
I put it on every president.
You don't know Trump's cabinet today.
I know that he has Jeff Sessions. I know that he has a group of 35 generals that have signed him that they would serve in his cabinet. I know that down the list, he's at least vetted people. He vetted Chris Christie, Mike Huckabee, Mike Pence.
See, here's the argument, though, is that...
We don't get that luxury.
Right. We don't have... See, the problem with Trump and why I don't think that Trump is going to be a true change agent is that Donald Trump is going to surround himself with all the Bush people.
Yeah.
It's the same old, tired Republicans who are currently at...
The Bush people are the Ford people, are the Nixon people.
Exactly right.
Thing.
And Hillary Clinton is going to put Sidney Blumenthal and all these various people that have worked for her, Bill's administration, Obama's administration. You know, they cycle these people through think tanks. You know, the left has the Center for American Progress. That's why that foundation was started. It's so the Clinton people could have a job during the Bush administration. It's run by one of her chief people. I think it's Sidney Blumenthal that runs that. The Heritage Foundation, the American Enterprise Institute on the right, Brookings and the Council on Foreign Relations. The other two establishment parties have think tanks. They have people who are ready to step in at a moment's notice. The libertarian movement, the reason that the Kochs started Cato, Reason, Institute for Humane Studies, is so that we would be ready too. There is an argument to be made on the Libertarian Party side that there is a lack of readiness, and that hurts us. So I'm not going to argue with you on that, because I think that's
my only criticism. And I don't want Gary Johnson to do poorly. I want Gary Johnson to do well. Votes are earned. They shouldn't
right.
be given. Votes should never be given just because. Just because I'm a libertarian, I'm voting for the libertarian candidate. Just because I know this person, and I trust them, and I disagree with their policies, I'm going to still vote for them. A vote should be earned, because that's the only way in American society that you are ever going to up the ante of what is offered.
Right.
And Gary Johnson, the thing that bugs me is if Gary were a paper candidate, it really wouldn't bug me.
Mm-hmm.
He isn't. He's the two-term governor in a race with a reality TV star and a failed Secretary of State and
yeah.
former First Lady. So you cannot for one second sit there and answer. You haven't even started considering people that are going to be in your administration and be on 60 Minutes. Basically, your coming out party for disgruntled Republicans and people that don't trust Hillary Clinton as a Democrat, and sit there and say, well, we haven't actually thought about that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, damn it, I hold myself to higher standards than that, just as someone that talks on a libertarian podcast.
Right.
How can you not run for the office of the United States, President of the United States?
So it was almost a strategic threat to say that if Gary Johnson doesn't make the debates, there's no way they can win. So how does the Johnson campaign, now that they're most likely not going to be in the three debates, how do they message now?
Pick a plan. Americans want solutions. Americans want hope. They want aspiration. This is how we're going to do it. This is what it looks like. And this is why we as libertarians can fix the gridlock and the lack of bipartisanship, because we changed the game.
Right.
We can give away drug legalization and mandatory minimums in exchange for a balanced budget amendment and some other sort of financial concessions or fiscal concessions. We can stimulate the economy and quit not having to force the choice of, do you hate the civil libertarian issues in exchange for financial issues, or do you have to take the civil libertarian issues in exchange for higher taxes? We change the game.
Yeah.
We are the game changers.
We're the bridge.
We are the answer that Americans have been looking for, and we are the majority. We are a silenced majority in America that don't get access. We don't ever get chance to actually present a compelling case, and we finally do, and we don't have a plan.
Right.
Well, it's 4th and 18 for the Johnson campaign.
It is.
Right now. They've got to have tonight. They need the other two candidates to be miserable,
and their
poor performance tonight is the only hope that the Johnson campaign has to move forward.
Hey Avery, can you bump up number three a little bit for me, please? Yeah, so we are the future. I mean, if you look at all the polling that has gone on with Gary Johnson, and you look at all of the millennial numbers the military numbers. I mean, Gary Johnson and the Libertarian Party, those millennial numbers aren't protest votes. Those are people who say, I am a libertarian and I'm voting for my conscience. Like, the Libertarian movement and the Libertarian Party, possibly, if they can get their act together, are a major force in American politics in the next generation.
They are the only growing party in America.
Right.
And they represent, based upon polling data, we are the majority. They just don't know it yet.
Right.
But I swear to God, we cannot win by saying no. We are never going to win by saying no. And really, even no in an incremental format is a tough sell.
Yeah.
But we do have areas where we can be aspirational. Like, everybody sitting in this audience tonight is here because either they want to be entertained or they are passionate about libertarianism or small incremental improvements, or someone drug them along and said, hey, this will be fun, and lied to them. But at the end of the day, we're all looking for that chance to say, I support Gary Johnson. I'm proud to support Gary Johnson, and I know I'm right, and here's why I'm right. Look at what his plan is. Look at what Trump wants to build a wall. Hillary wants to make fun of Trump. And Gary Johnson has a plan to make sure things like Charlotte don't happen by instituting community policing and healing America in a lot of ways. We can get our budgets under control. We can have a balanced budget amendment. We can use sound monetary policies, which basically fund our interventions all over the Middle East, which end up putting a debt burden on the rest of society. We change the literal game. Our framework is so, it's the Overton window.
Right.
And yet, here we are. We're sitting right there, and I'm watching. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. I haven't exactly considered who I'd have for that. And I'm like, oh, I just want it to be earned. I want someone to woo me and make me feel inspired rather than saying no.
Right.
Rather than having to sit there and say, I'm tired of explaining having to explain why Gary's actually good. I want people to see Gary and say, my God, that speaks to me.
It's the feeling that I think everybody had about Austin Peterson during the convention season. Everybody had this expectation that Austin was just going to be, you know, oh, he's just talking in memes and, you know, he's not serious and he's only 35. And you have low, low expectations, and then the guy comes and just knocks it out of the park. And now everybody, regardless of who they supported at the 2016 convention, says, I hope Austin's the guy in 4 years.
Everyone.
Yeah, and I think that we have to think about, you're right. That's the expectation that the public has for Gary, and Gary's just not hitting.
Because he's on the main, like, believe it or not, we're there.
Right.
He's on every show. You can't ask for more earned media than what he's getting.
The Hill is one of, if not the best political newspapers out of Washington, D.C., in league with Roll Call, National Journal, Politico. And The Hill, every single day, posts an article to Facebook, which is premium space, you know, in terms of digital publishing, which I would do for a living. Like, your Facebook posts, that's valuable real estate. And they post a Gary Johnson article every day. And good or bad, they're covering the good and the bad of Gary Johnson. And what this does is it raises the stakes for future libertarian campaigns of every level, state, local, and federal. People are going to have an expectation for libertarian candidates that are going to be higher than they've ever been moving forward.
And they have to be higher. Because
yeah.
we hold ourselves to a higher standard on principles, on what we believe, on never compromising on certain things like the value of, you know, someone's rights when they're being interrogated, regardless of whether they're a citizen or not. That's what makes us libertarian.
Right.
And I am just sick to death that I don't hear that in a way that moves me. You know,
yeah.
I was talking to you today. I was like, you know, this is America's time for choosing. I'm so sick of, well, based on the way things are right now, I'm going to vote Republican because we need a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or we need a little bit of the Democrat, like the Barack Obama choice. We wipe that all away and say, this is the path forward. This is what it has always looked like. And damn it, this is where we're going.
So even if we don't get on the debate stage with Gary, do you still see that he has the opportunity to pick up electoral votes?
I do.
Yeah,
I really
do. Still think the Western strategy is there for him to win New Mexico or Utah.
I do. Utah and New Mexico are definitely in play. Absolutely.
So if that's the case and it's a close election, you still have the opportunity for this thing to get thrown in the House.
You do. And then Gary is the logical choice in the House of Representatives because he's the only executive with any kind of leadership experience and he's in public office, and he is the one that literally can go across the aisle based on mild concessions and move America out of this constant state of gridlock and throwing bombs at the other side.
Right. So let's move on to Hillary Clinton. And just the Western strategy is the Johnson's campaign planned a victory. They're betting that the House and Senate Democrats and Republicans will not vote for the other side, so they would compromise with Gary Johnson. So moving on to Hillary Clinton, I believe that Hillary Clinton has the most to lose tonight. She doesn't have the most to win. She can either totally blow this thing, or she can buy herself. You can swing with a debate anywhere from 3 to 6 points, and when they're in a virtual dead heat, that's a lot. And Hillary Clinton, the messaging from her campaign so far is that we are not Trump, that we are not racist. We are going to do things together, not divided.
Make America decent again.
You had Tim Kaine last week on Every Sunday Show with the two books, Stronger Together and Crippled America. They're pinning their entire campaign messaging on we're not that guy. And so far that has gotten them
a dead heat.
So I think Hillary Clinton really has to not only... we know that she is the policy wonk. She has learned and forgotten more about policy than you and I will ever know.
Yep.
Whether we agree with those policies or not, she is an intelligent, thoughtful woman who just is wrong and leads to people
she's
dying.
She's power hungry.
Right. But... she's
arguably the worst Secretary of State in United States history. Like, letting an ambassador be killed on your watch is the standard, and you failed.
Right. So she is, she's very wonkish. And in those debates with Bernie Sanders...
I would put Reno up against her, too. But
Janet Reno.
She did kill a number of Americans at home.
Right.
I mean, you're just saying job, you have one job, and it's to protect your ambassadors who you've deployed to represent the United States government in diplomatic relations, and you let him die.
We'll call it a draw.
What difference does it make, Greg?
Yeah.
So you have Hillary who will come out, and she will show substance, and she will show that she is the adult to Donald Trump. She's in those debates with Bernie and with Barack Obama. She was always a little wooden. She was always a little stiff. She comes across shrill. I have family members, male.
She comes across thirsty.
Yeah.
She's just thirsty as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, she is so desperate to be liked by everybody. Right. She's like, oh, I don't want to do anything wrong. Oh, my God, are you okay? Do you like me?
And it just,
like
this is going to be everything
a frog
seems
in the throat joke.
Yeah, it seems calculated. Everything she does is calculated.
It is.
Her trustworthiness is nobody's going to look at her, and maybe it is the smart strategy. Nobody looks at Hillary Clinton and says, I like her.
Going
maybe
all the
like
way back.
20% of
her choosing to be the senator from New York and not want any one of the other 49 states.
And have never lived there.
Exactly.
Never lived there.
She adopted my hometown the night she became a senator. She said, oh, and the people of Messina. And I said, what?
Yeah.
The three of us have authored the exact same amount of legislation in the United States Senate as her.
Right.
Is that not incredible?
Yeah. It's true. Her greatest political accomplishment is
marrying Bill.
Right.
And that isn't
and
sexist
staying married
it's
to
true.
The man.
Let's touch on sexism, because I think for her and any female in the debate, let's say it was Carly Fiorina versus Bernie Sanders.
Look at that face.
Okay, Trump. It is statistically proven that any female in a debate with a male is faced with a disparity.
I would argue there is one exception.
Okay.
And she's it.
Okay.
She is so unlikable that I don't know that that actually holds.
So you think that that is something that they... there's always the low expectations game. Everybody is always trying to paddle, well, we don't know how it's going to go. So that way, if the debate goes terrible, they can all go, well, we told you.
It's going to be really fucking bad.
Right. And so that might be their low expectations as well. It's that she's a woman and the blah, blah, blah. But you're right.
There you go, assuming gender identities.
Who doesn't know?
Did you just assume my species?
I mean, he's not wrong. What is feminine about Hillary? Do you think that she ever gave Chelsea a hug?
If there wasn't a press junket around, I'd bet no.
Like, my view of Hillary Clinton is that Hillary Clinton is a political robot. She's just one of those people that everything is calculated, everything is very robotic, and she had a great human...
It's everything's focus tested.
Right.
Should I wear this color of beige as a pantsuit? Like, no. You're going to shit your pants. That's going to show through.
Right. So these two are the best known candidates to run for president of all time. Like, there's a 100% name ID for these two.
Yeah.
It's literally just a NASCAR wreck tonight. NASCAR race, seeing who's going to hit the wall tonight.
It's
hopefully not
how
Terry
tall
Labonte.
Will the wall be, though?
Right.
Yeah, please don't let it be Terry.
We got old Dick Tick.
Do
Dick
you really
Trickle
care if you don't have to pay for it? Because it's fiscally conservative right. That way.
So Hillary Clinton can...
She can't win.
Okay.
Only Trump can lose, in my opinion.
All right.
Donald Trump, if he does well and is even with Hillary or even close... This is probably going to push him to a 2-3 point lead nationally, in my opinion.
Because people are tuning in.
Well,
because,
he's not that much of an idiot.
Right, because the cultural narrative, like we follow this. We read stuff hours a day or whatever. Most people, like my family, just go, well, this guy's out of control. He's crazy.
But he's been better lately.
He's been very focused since they brought on Kelly Conway and got rid of Manafort.
Is he going to be able to keep up on the policy tonight, though? That's the
not
real question.
Chance.
Is because she can get so far out in the weeds and lose him, and he can come off looking like a total fool. And that's her opportunity.
Yeah. Smart's so overrated. Ronald Reagan is not some... No, in politics, smart is the most overrated thing I've ever seen. Rand Paul destroyed that primary process.
Right.
He won every debate by every media class commentator. Rand Paul was the surprise tonight. Yada, yada, yada. He's nuanced. He's
but
intelligent.
But it's the sound bites.
It's the sound so bites. The, it's so the, Little Marco. It's the moniker, and it's the moments you talk about that are like kind of cringy, but it's a Clinton. So for every Republican that was thinking about maybe not voting for Trump, if he hits enough blows to a Clinton, he's gold.
Right.
So you're going to see the people that watch the debate think Hillary wins, and then when it gets cut up and put into sound bites, the people tomorrow are going to say Trump kicked her ass.
I think Donald Trump's going to win because Hillary Clinton is grasping to this damn thing so hard. Like, you remember that? Remember the thing with Barack? Who do you want to answer the call at 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
Part of that last campaign? She's the girl that's texting you 35 times and calling you until you just take the battery out of the phone because she is so thirsty to win this election. Like, it's the Tommy Boy scene.
Yeah.
Like, I love my little pet. And then destroys it.
I'm the Hillary Clinton of love.
Can we get Spangle a basket of bread?
I love it. I squeeze it and then I just...
I mean, that is what it feels like. Every time I watch her, I'm just cringing because I'm like, just stop trying. Like, just take a Xanax or like have a drink and calm down, Hillary. Because it should have been in the bag. When she said, why don't I have a 50-point lead? I couldn't believe it because she's right, but only Hillary Clinton could lose this election.
I think that the chance of some sort of medical thing tonight is very... That, to me,
you
is like...
You should scare her.
A catheter
her.
Failure.
If she craps her... Oops, I crap my pants will be the meme of this this entire political correction. It'll be her mid-sentence and then...
let's go through the there's something called prop bets. So you can debate on a football game, like the Super Bowl, but then who wins the coin toss? Who walks out first? Who, you know, does this or that? Who will the kickoff be a touchdown? So these are some of the president. I don't believe in who wins. I don't believe what I say.
That's
facts. Yeah, did
he really do that?
Yeah.
I feel like Bittner should get a come up here just for that.
No.
Was that a safety on Spangle?
So I personally...
Bittner happens.
I don't believe in the concept of someone winning a debate. I mean, in terms of, there was 14 good points for... I mean, that seems like silly nerd stuff. Like, just because us nerds weren't good at sports in school, it doesn't mean that we can make this a sport. So that being said, let's talk about some of the betting that is going on around tonight's debate. Which event will have a higher Nielsen rating, Monday Night Football or the presidential debate?
Presidential debate.
And I don't understand these ratings. It's plus 1,000, negative 2,500 for the presidential debate. I assume lowered it. But I think, so we won't worry about the odds, but what?
Have you ever heard of a parlay card?
No.
Have you heard of a vagina?
Yeah, it was in your mom's last night.
Oh!
Spangles
sorry,
Delaware
I
Express.
Apologize to Mrs. Lynn. She is the nicest human being alive. I didn't mean her. I meant the avatar. Are you texting your mom right now?
Have you seen this picture of Judy?
How did you get that photo of my mom?
Yoga.
So the sports betting.
Yeah, sports ball.
There's no doubt that this will be the greatest presidential debate in terms of ratings of all time, right?
Yeah, at least in the last 4 years. No, it should be huge. It should be huge. The NFL, you asked about the ratings. Yeah, huge. The NFL has had bad ratings all year long,
yeah.
And especially their Thursday night, Monday night stuff. So it's going to be down anyway, which, you know.
And tonight, like the game is versus the Padres and the Vikings.
Yeah,
and
it's the Hartford Whalers and the right. San Francisco Padres, yes.
They have two games?
Yeah, it's just like week one where they did the late game.
Well, good luck to the Whalers. will Donald Trump call Hillary Clinton a liar?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's easy. My mother's calling
your
you.
Your mother is calling
what
me.
What do you think you did?
Let's put
oh
her on.
God.
Oh, no.
Is your mom really?
Hi. Hi, Joyce. Oh, she hung up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like Sarah?
No.
Oh, that's sad.
So I think there's a 100% chance that they both will call each other a liar.
Donald Trump... It's 100%. But I don't know. It's kind of Trump, as always, is unpredictable. He has been totally unpredictable till the Jennifer Flowers thing this weekend. Like, he had been on his best behavior, and he
did. Do you think that he was really going to do it, and Pence had to walk that back, or do you think that was just him playing?
No, I think it's like the wall.
I think he was just generating publicity.
Yeah, you threaten it to control people's behavior and freeze them in suspense.
Okay. Will Donald Trump mention Bill Clinton?
Oh yes. God, yeah. If she attacks him on women.
Yeah.
Fair game.
Will Hillary Clinton say bigot or bigotry?
I don't think so, because deplorables didn't play well.
Yeah. Will Hillary Clinton say deplorable? I'm going to say no on that.
You can't. That's why they're even.
Will Trump say build the wall or build a wall?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
That's the easiest lock of the... That's
literally all he's got. I'm double shocking.
Murderers and rapists, exactly.
What color will Donald Trump's tie be?
Blue.
Red?
Blue.
Red power tie?
I think he's going to go blue.
Or as Zach Galifianakis said, his white red power tie?
Red is the heavy favorite. Black is the longest odds at plus 3,300.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go with like a lightish blue.
Yeah.
They should go Bartlett and just cut it before he goes out.
What color will Hillary Clinton's jacket be?
Evan McMahon just figured it all out.
What'd he say?
Actually, no, there's a lot Trump line of ties until Macy's dropped it. I bet I'll wear one of those.
I'm sure Hillary's going
to
wear a dress.
He needs to wear a 90s Rush Limbaugh tie.
What if Hillary has to
have
wear a
diaper?
Have you
seen those?
Oh, I own like 10.
We have an audience question.
What color will Hillary Clinton's jacket be? Are you white knighting for Sarah again?
No. It's for my baby brother.
Which one of you guys would be the quickest in a 40-yard dash?
Are there bears?
I'm in tennis shoes.
I'm quick in short bursts.
I wear tennis shoes at all times to outrun the bears.
I'm a land yacht, not a sports car, so fuck you, Danny.
Yeah, we know who's not going to win. It's Greg.
You know who's going back? Danny.
Yeah.
Greg's much older than all of us.
I'm 31.
Oh, shit, I'm older than everybody else.
I believe that Hillary Clinton will wear the same pattern as my grandmother's curtains.
She won't go floral.
No.
No, no way. I'm thinking she goes a navy blue. She'll have the lapel pin on. She'll have the Depends. We won't be able to see them. Is it whale tail if they're an adult diaper?
I have to say, I will compliment Hillary Clinton on one thing. She's always very well-dressed. Whoever does her fashion, she... For a female politician? Absolutely.
The North Korean tailor?
Y'all been reading too many of them memes.
She has like Roy G. Biv of pantsuits. Like,
absolutely.
She's got the full array.
She's a crayon.
That's why I think she's going dress. She's going to change it up.
She's
completely.
Got all the colors of the crayons. The red Indian, the flesh, the...
You know what she needs are glasses. Sarah Palin, all of her success was basically tied to her glasses.
All of a sudden she puts on the glasses. Sarah
Rush Limbaugh 2 years ago said, she looks downright sexy.
Hillary?
Yeah. 2 years ago,
because
she looked refreshed.
He said we don't want to see her age in front of America.
Yeah, and America, that's the way it played out.
I'm getting text messages from your mom lecturing me on making fun of moms. It was a joke. It was an avatar-like joke like Hillary Clinton is.
I hate it when Chris does this. You always go over the line, and I'm always having to pull
women.
You back.
We should probably talk about this.
Oh, I have a problem with women. I host a libertarian podcast. I haven't smelled one in, like, weeks.
Oh,
it's that I'm not wearing my fedora tonight.
Can somebody meme that real quick? I haven't smelled one, a woman, parentheses, in weeks.
If you want to take something to the next level of creepy, add smell to it.
Oh, you just did.
After that,
you just raised the bar way up here. Higher than the wall.
Which topic will be debated first, securing America, the direction of America, or the achieving prosperity question?
I think we're going to go something like, I think they're going to try to hang Trump with foreign policy.
I think we're going Black Lives Matter out the gate.
You think so?
I think
I actually would love to see
Lester,
that.
Because Lester Holt's asking the question. I think he's going to...
What are you implying?
I think he's from Charlotte, isn't
Blair.
He? No, I really think
Tell
he's going to
go... Tell me more about how black people only talk about Black Lives Matters, Jeremiah.
I think he's going to go with the most pressing issue of the week, and Charlotte's on fire last time I checked.
It is. Charlotte's definitely the one, and then Oh, my God.
Yeah,
we found a grifter.
Keep going. So coming up to the stage is Blair Englehart, and I used to work for Blair right over there. Blair is one of the few guys that I know that does campaign consulting for libertarians, Democrats, and Republicans.
He has a tag on his shirt like Minnie Pearl.
Do you have a tag? Are you returning that? How much is that shirt?
It looks like, I think that was the...
Is this a bit? Blair, is this a bit?
That's off Garth Brooks' In Pieces album.
Hey, that's a damn good deal.
It's an $80 shirt at Nordstrom's, $24.75, and I was pretty toasted when I bought it. So, yeah. I obviously forgot to take the tag off.
Hey, it's a great shirt.
Yeah, thank you.
What a haircut on that guy.
See?
Blair, you do have a nice haircut. I like it.
Oh.
I'm not joking with you. Sometimes you get a little long, and you look like...
It hasn't been this short in 20
years. You get a little Ben Franklin-y on me.
Right.
So you work for Republicans, Libertarians, Democrats as a professional campaign strategist. You're a part of the Green Party, whoever pays you green.
I wouldn't say Democrats. I don't know any Democrat I've ever...
They can't hear that.
That man should have been Secretary of State instead of the guy that went to prison.
But you work professionally as a campaign consultant, correct?
Correct. Well, part of my job, yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like being Chris Spangle's boss?
It was great.
Were you there the day?
Well, there was always food in the office.
Were you there the day that the Twinkies arrived for Chris Maple Leaf Spangle?
Well,
you think they knew about the Twinkies?
We made him sing the Canadian anthem every morning in the morning. Yeah.
Did you pay him in Canadian dollars?
Oh no, but we did take him to Brewburger every once in a while.
What was it like working with little Brett Bittner?
That's a whole different ball game.
He sort of works at his own pace.
Yeah, he has this hole down on the second floor that we once in a while crawl down into, and he graces us with his presence every once in a while.
Now you also employ Chloe and Agnos, or have employed Chloe and Agnos.
Correct.
She's deep in hiding, I heard.
Does she ever show up to work?
Every once in a while, whenever she feels like it,
yeah,
she calls Brett and sweet talks him, and he says, "Oh, whatever you want is fine by me."
Of course he does.
No show in Agnos.
White Knight Bittner.
I guess he doesn't really need his assistant.
You know who's going to be my special guest tonight?
Who's that?
Kat Agnos, her little sister.
Oh,
she's not here.
Wonderful downtown.
How does that
Elkhart?
Be a special guest? Yeah.
It runs in the family. No show in Agnos.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah.
You haven't smelled an Agnos
they
in a
are,
while.
I haven't. I have a scarf that I sniff so I can get their scent.
They are blondes.
They're very blonde. They're very Greek.
They're
Now, what do you think is going to happen tonight? What are your impressions of the debate?
I think it's obviously, and this will probably be the most watched television show of all time. There's no doubt in my mind. With what we've seen going on, I mean, it's an even slate. I think you're going to see a lot of, knowing Mike Pence pretty well, like I do, you're going to see a lot of Mike Pence tonight in Trump's delivery. You're going to see a lot of Mike Pence in the answers. Mike was always sound bit crazy. I mean, he was all about the 30-second soundbite. And tonight you're going to see a lot of that, I think.
Do you think Trump actually listens to... I mean, you really think he sits down and listens to people, though?
I do. I think there's a short list that he listens to. And I think Trump... I had, you know, a good friend. Well, you know, I mean, Jeff Cardwell is a good friend of mine. He just spent the week on Trump's with Pence on his plane.
I got an email from him.
And he said, Blair, it's just amazing. You get him outside of Indiana, and they think he's a god. And here, you know.
Where they've been living under him.
Yeah. So I think you're going to see a lot of Pence and Trump tonight. I really do.
Pence and Trump.
So, but I think you hit it on the head earlier. I think it's
I think RFRA would be quite opposed to that.
I would agree there. But it's,
so what do you think in terms of Hillary Clinton? What are your, is there anything she can do to not lose?
Well, it depends on how many drugs they gave her before the show. I have a whole different theory on why she's acting this batshit crazy.
Let's hear it.
Well, she looks toasted all the time on something. I mean, you don't go through. There's been some times when she just like froze, and I've seen that look before when I've looked in the mirror, and it's
Aaron on Saturday.
It's a frightening thing, right? Yeah. So you know, I think they're both going to try to get each other's goat tonight, and I think that she's going to have a lot of Valium, so it's going to be hard.
Do you think she's going to go that far?
Oh, absolutely. What do you think? Everybody saw the syringe her doctor carries around behind her, right? So you tell me.
Do you think it's Valium?
It's something to keep her level out. I mean, look at her. I mean,
she's amped up.
Something.
Like her anxiety levels have...
I don't know.
Like she's been backstage drinking 5-hour energies and eating Tums.
Listen, you don't choose those...
You couldn't even hold a candle to have...
Aggressively hydrating.
Yeah. You don't choose those pantsuits with a straight, you know, thinking mind. Seriously.
Or that shirt.
If you were going to advise Donald Trump on how to get Hillary Clinton, how would you do it as a lifelong political operative?
Well, what I would have done, I would have invited all the parents of all the people who were killed in Benghazi to sit on the front row.
Smart man.
You know, this other, what's her name, Flowers?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But I would have had the parents of the people who died in Benghazi, and I would have had them sitting on either side of Mark Cuban.
Would you have asked her to apologize? Start the debate by asking Hillary to apologize?
No, no. I'd just be the psychological warfare, you know, she'll know they're there.
Yeah.
And that would have just set her off, you know, because she thinks that's a dead issue.
So
it isn't.
No.
We've both prepped a lot of candidates for debates.
Right.
I've generally seen candidates... I mean, this is a very nerve-wracking, tough, stress-inducing situation. It is terrifying for... Even for somebody as experienced at this level, like Hillary Clinton,
she's
afraid right now. It's a very tough, stressful thing. What are some of the things that you've seen in candidates before they go in a debate? And I think candidates for mayor or candidates for a state senate race or whatever, before they do a forum, go through the same emotions that Trump and Hillary are going through right now.
Well, you got to remember, most politicians, and I'll include people that I represent now, and we got a few, you know, they got egos. So, you know, whatever, you know, at that point, they're controlling everything. Whatever you tell them is probably not going to work. But they're, you know, the minds are racing 100 miles an hour. And, you know, you're trying to deflect. Trump's going to try and deflect that it's not going to be a fair debate, right? And they're going to try to deflect like crazy. It's going to be one for all times.
How would you tell Hillary to get to Trump?
I'll get to Trump on the business thing. The thing he cares more about probably than his family is his companies and his business. I would hit him on his business ventures, his failed business ventures.
The university?
The university, people, the young, the families that got rolled over in with the casinos. You know, I'd
held the Trump princess here in, what was that, like 94 in Indiana?
Gary,
Indiana.
Gary,
yeah,
and
he's not real well-liked up in Gary, Indiana. I mean, he's not liked at all. But, tonight I think this is more important for Hillary than it is for Trump. And I will tell you, after seeing the polling here in Indiana on an intimate basis, and I think we're kind of a, microcosm of what's going on around the country for the most part. I mean, Trump's people are Trump's people, Hillary's people are Hillary's people, and I don't know how much is going to be changed by tonight. I think this makes for great theater. I think it, be honest with you, I think what happens tonight helps the Libertarian Party more than the Democrat Party or the Republican Party.
Because of their race to the bottom.
I don't know what you want to call it. I know is there's going to be a lot of people out there when they're asking a question. I wonder what Gary Johnson would say to this. I wonder what Governor Weld would say to this.
Is absence perhaps stronger than inclusion?
No, no. I mean, if he would have been there, it would have been better. But you're going to see higher than normal numbers in certain states. You're going to see in Indiana. You're going to see record number for Rex Bell. I mean, I've been privy to some internal polling from Howie, and I'm telling you right now. Rex Bell will have the highest numbers of any Libertarian gubernatorial candidate, and maybe the highest percentage numbers. Well, he still, I think, has the record right over in Wayne County.
Oh, yeah,
for the highest.
He's won precincts, yeah.
He's Rex Bell has legendary status.
But I think that you're going to see a record, with all due respect to...
Your former employee?
What's the guy that...
Rupert.
Rupert. I think Rex Bell will have incredible numbers. And I will tell you, and with all due respect, I've seen the questions in polling in both Republicans and Democrats in the state of Indiana. Libertarians have been in every question I have seen.
Good.
And that's in senatorial districts, that's in gubernatorials, that's for attorney general, that's for every race. I can tell you, and I've seen a lot of polls, especially in Senate districts, and I tell you right now that it might be the third person they ask about, but you're supposed to rotate those in a poll, right?
Sure.
But I can promise you that every poll that I have seen has had a Libertarian candidate in that poll.
Is that a meme of me?
It is.
Aaron?
Danny Lundy is probably my favorite Libertarian.
Danny?
I haven't smelled one in a really long time. Hashtag shit Spangle says. You, my friend. You.
Now, one final question for you, Blair. As a campaign operative standing on the sidelines watching a candidate debate, what emotions do you go through?
Oh, it's like I'm going through right now for the next 51 days. I mean, it's trying to keep... The hardest job is to keep focus,
right?
Because your opponent will make a move, and you think you've got to make a move. And you just got to remember, running a campaign is nothing more than a big chess game. You make this move, they make that move, and you hope you got enough money at the end to make the move.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to see the Libertarian candidates have more money than they've had in the past.
Yeah.
I've met a young kid. What district is that, Brett? 32.
Yeah.
Very impressive young man.
Shane.
I mean, he's going up against the juggernaut. I mean, because I'm running the juggernaut's campaign. But,
well, if that's the campaign, juggernaut's a bit of a strong word.
Okay. But I will tell you that...
because he's your friend, I'll spare you other words.
But
that
I'll
I have
tell you
for
that
Jackson.
You know, he's in any other situation,
yeah.
That young man would do a lot better. Okay.
I'm right. Just telling
if it was in a different...
It's environment specific.
That one is. I'm telling you right now. If that was in a different district, a different time, that young man would be doing a lot better.
Right.
So, but I think the fact that people, Johnson Weld, and I don't know about you, what I've learned working with Rutherford and you guys is that, there's no such thing as purity anymore, and there's no pure Republican, there's no pure Democrat anymore, and there's certainly no pure Libertarian. And I don't know that we'll ever, I don't know what purity means in any of those anymore, but I know what liberty and freedom means, and I think as Johnson Weld kind of set a really good stage.
Right.
I really do.
I agree.
He had that little goof up, but guess what? How many people knew where the hell that city was? I didn't know. Well, Brett did, because he doesn't have
All right.
Life.
Well, thank you very
thanks.
Much to Blair Engelhardt. Blair, thanks
thank
for coming
much,
by.
Blair.
James, come on up. So we just have a few more minutes left, and let me tell you, we have a special treat for you tonight, and make sure you get to come up, too.
God damn, fucking light, man.
Yeah, dog.
So this is somebody we wanted to have at the live show for quite a while, because you've got to see
He's
James.
He's been on.
Not on the live show.
Oh, he's posted it with us, with Rex.
Yeah. He and Rex sparred last week.
Welcome to We Are Alzheimer's.
Go sit down, please. I'm just kidding, James. James Neese is...
I don't know that you've ever let Aaron up here. for the record, on a live show.
For the record, you didn't invite me to your pool party either, but I wouldn't have gone because you didn't have a fucking saltwater pool.
Do they have those in Frankfurt?
Well, there's people with saltwater pools. Jeremiah is not getting fancy, and I'm just—he didn't invite me to his pool party.
Oh, it was fancy.
I'm not even going to try.
The invitation was eggshell white.
Calligraphy for that one, yeah.
James is special. James is. James is our whack pack, so to speak.
Special eccentric or special short bus? Yes.
Eccentric. I'll say eccentric because he's probably packing, right, dog? How many times have you said the word cuck today?
My mom is still watching. You can tune out now.
I'm in several groups on Facebook, and that word flies by so much. It's just I wake up in the morning, cuck, 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 as it clicks through.
It's cuck-a-doodle-doo at your house.
The most brutal savages on the internet, it took James' niece 30 seconds to have them quitting the group and quitting brutalism completely.
Now, James is one of the original people on 4chan. James, 4chan is one of the most demonic websites of all time. James, I'm sorry, Harry. James is one of the OPs.
We don't realize how blessed we are to have somebody like James. He is the beginning.
If I were to ask you, Jer, which person in this room of the 40 some people that are here, was an original member of 4chan, I would think it would be him.
Absolutely. Someone's got to kill the ANCAPs, bro. No one's physically removing but me.
You don't like ANCAPs, huh?
I mean, even this microphone triggers me black and yellow.
how do you think I feel when they didn't give me a windscreen?
Well, at least
you got one.
At least yours doesn't scream out every time I hold a microphone that's black and yellow like this, with this cover on it and this, I guess the windscreen, it's just I just feel like it's just wanting me to buy nuclear arms to basically hold off my own against my enemy's army
child
of sex.
Child prostitution army.
Yeah, dealing heroin. I'm like...
You recently got into an argument with our favorite ANCAP, Roger Paxton, host of The Lava Flow.
Favorite's a bit strong.
Yeah, he's my favorite ANCAP, at least my favorite ANCAP
he's
podcaster.
He's my favorite
I want to hear
ANCAP.
James' side of the story. I don't understand what's happened here.
What have you done? You've made a partner of the League of Liberty podcasters upset at you.
Well, he's I'm definitely an anarchist. And I'm I'm going to show you why anarchy is a bad idea. And it's just every day I would just comment on this stuff, just shit post after shit post after shit post. And he thought that he could just ignore the shit post. And that's the worst thing he could do.
One does not simply ignore it, James.
The free market didn't take care of you, James.
What?
The free market didn't take care of you?
No, the free market took care of that block button he hit me because I would shit post and he would ignore it. I would just comment on all this stuff. He'd post something and be like, man, isn't it sad that Bill Weld's a Republican like that? And I'm like, who fucking cares, bro? Just vote. And eventually, he got into some Daryl Perry thing. This is what Daryl says. And I'm like, Daryl's a fucking crazy motherfucker, dude. And that was the final.
Hold on. When James Neese calls you a crazy motherfucker.
That's called rock bottom.
Over under on how long it's been since that hair's been washed.
Probably 2 days. I never sleep.
It never sees the light of day. It's fine.
Harry, you can't wash your hair every day. Stop it. That's what he was implying.
Whoa.
I'm not the racist.
No. Why?
Is it because
so
you think
continue
he's black?
On.
He can't afford to.
Is it because
wash
he can't
hair?
Afford to because he's black or because his dad never showed him how? Chris, pick one.
You know.
Hang up and listen.
Congratulations on your nuptials, Harry.
You do know washing your hair every day is bad for you,
I
right?
I look forward to meeting your sister again soon. Harry was genuinely upset at me because at his wedding, I immediately sat down right next to his sister, who is lovely. And we had a great conversation. Unfortunately, she's engaged. She mentioned that.
I'm sure she found a nice man.
She told me that in the first 5 minutes, which is always a clue.
Well, when you tried to smell her.
She smelled delicious. And
was I invited to the wedding?
Harry.
Yes. Oh, okay, my bad.
Harry walks up to me and goes, listen, dude, bro code, get away from my sister. I was like, it's too late. So, James, you fight with ANCAPs, you work in IT, you're...
He's a director of IT. by the way.
James was here before I was here, and I was 2 hours and 15 minutes early. James has a problem with being early.
I went to Walmart and I bought one of those chicken roll things from like the deli section for like $3. I was just eating it in the car, man.
True story, he had left it in the car and we went outside about 30 minutes before this started and he went out there to get the last little nubbin. He goes, I'm going to get my food, and he comes back. I swear to God, it's this much left of it. And it's been out in the car sitting with
the
windows
hot car.
Down. He's just eating it like, what, bro?
Well, he is a connoisseur of the trash can diet.
That's not the worst
thing
you've
been
ever
dumpster
eaten.
Diving before.
I've been dumpster diving.
Which is one of your, you said, listen, Roger, you ANCAP, I am a real libertarian. I've been dumpster diving. That is an argument
you
for
did.
As well, being an argument
you
for
totally.
You're not no. a real libertarian until you've eaten trash.
You basically had a libertarian dick measuring contest. And then your winning argument was, have you eaten shit out of a dumpster? Then I don't want to hear a fucking word from you, Roger.
At this point, I want to raise a practical question about eating out of a dumpster, because I've never had to. Is there like a 30-second rule?
Like a 30-day rule.
It was a fresh market, though, right?
Yeah.
It was like, fresh market.
It was
organic
people.
Trash.
It was premium.
There was no antibiotics on
it
that
trash.
It was
in a plastic bag, and it was like baguettes.
Right.
Well, my issue with Roger and that thing was like, Roger's like, man, I like all these things. I'm going to promote all these things. I'm like, you can't promote it without living that life, bro. Like, I told him once, he's like, oh, we should legalize drugs. I'm like, have you ever, like, snorted cocaine off a hooker's ass? And he's like, I don't need to do that. I have a family. And I'm like, because you're weak.
James is literally every stereotype of a libertarian my grandmother has. I swear to God, I was at a wedding on Sunday and Saturday night, and they were like, I just can't vote for the wasted vote. I just can't. I've got to vote Republican. They like drugs and eating trash.
You should have brought James as your date. And he'd be like, why's your grandma a cuck, bro? Are those dentures in all the time?
Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to ask James, but I can't remember it. What else has James been up to?
Just shit posting. Like, World of Warcraft Legion came out. Top of the PvP charts.
Helicopters. You're a big fan of forcible removal, so to speak.
Got to remove the Democrats and communists, bro.
But aren't you a communist? You want a libertarian
no.
communal
but who will
society?
Pay for the helicopters.
A mutualistic society.
Listen,
is communes.
You have to remove the communists you don't like. That's Stalin 101.
This doesn't sound very free to me.
It's free for me. It's free for my pals. I mean, like, would you really miss some guy over there? Like, you know, when you see, like, the Black Lives Matter protesters, they're blocking the highway. Everybody wants to run over
physically
them.
Physically removed.
Everybody wants to run over them. You want to run over me? It's just like, you sit there in the car, and they're like, fuck you, dude. We're blocking your fucking road. And I'm like, whatever, dude. I got a fucking pickup truck. Let's do it.
Vote for Johnson.
You know, and
Johnson Weld, 16.
Oh, all right, James. Well, that's why they call him the brutalist overlord, James Neese.
I mean, I took over that group, killed the group.
Now
there's like 15 new groups.
It took under 15 minutes. It's incredible.
There was a group of people who thought they were real hard on the internet called the brutalists, libertarians, bunch of, you know, fat white guys who have libertarian podcasts. And they like to say bad words to each other. James gets in the group and takes it over in 5 minutes, kicks all their leaders out and starts deleting them.
A mutiny.
It was a
libertarian fucking mutiny.
It was
mutiny.
A shit-posting diaspora.
So remember that, guys. If I ever run for president, I'll make sure to delete every single one of you off the face of history. It's nothing personal. It's just...
All right. James needs everybody.
Do.
Give him a round of applause.
Oh. Did you... Like, do you even ask me if I'm going to, like, watch the debate tonight, bro? Yeah. I'm waiting for her to fucking seizure. Like, it's just like, that is my goal tonight, is to watch her seizure and just be like, you know, she'll be up there and, like, Trump will ask her, you know, just like, you know, what would you do about Charlotte Burnett?
What's going on with that hand?
Fucking goddamn. That's her fucking hand movement.
It's got an RFID scan.
I got to spend an hour with Matt Welch of Reason, and a good 15 minutes of that was spent talking about James Neese with Matt Welch. He was fascinated. Christy Aver, you come up for the end of the show. So let's wrap up. We got to wrap up here.
We're getting close, aren't we?
Yeah, we got to. We're about 15 minutes away, and we've got to end it. I just want to say we've got Jordan, our server. She's working extremely hard, Please be sure to tip her generously. This is a longer shift than normal.
Chef?
So make sure that you order some extra food and drinks to thank the club and tip our waitress very well. Let's give her, before we give her final thoughts, I want to thank Christy Avery. Christy helped us buy a bigger board today.
So I like it when your board is lots bigger than everybody else's.
That's right. We have the biggest board. Rob Kendall has such a small board compared to ours now.
Oh, it's so small.
And she helped us.
I've
seen his board. It is small.
I heard Spangle can take his board on the road. He can go anywhere with
it. He's
got a very large mobile board.
Yep.
Do you want to smell me, Chris?
Get away.
Come on over here. Come on over, Christy. You have been a great, fantastic supporter.
Somebody needs to take a picture of this.
Supporter of We Are Libertarians. I just want to thank...
No, he's going to sniff you.
All right, everybody stop talking so I can
talk. Somebody's doing the sniffing.
So thank you so much, Christy. Oh, you smell delicious. Oh, thank you.
Do it one more time.
You smell like freedom, dear.
Well...
Oh. Very
so
nice.
If you're a We Are Libertarians donor, you can get on the Chris Will Sniff You plan.
Yeah. So
you just have to buy him a piece of equipment.
Yeah. So perfection. Thank you to Christy Avery. Christy is one of the people that she supports us by buying us equipment and just helping us grow the podcast, buy sponsorships. She's our super fan. And I wish that every podcast had a Christy Avery. You
all deserve it.
You genuinely make us... we do this for fun, but we also do it because we believe in it, we enjoy it, and you make us feel like we're actually doing something of value and not just
memeing
verbal masturbation. So thank you for believing in us.
Oh, get that out of my head.
It is truly an honor and a pleasure to be your friend, so thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Give her a round of applause, please.
Absolutely.
Woo!
Please, buy her a drink as well. She has earned it. She is single and looking for drinks.
And I'm sitting next to a hot guy, too. Woo, thanks, Sarah.
Final thoughts on the debate. Jeremiah, give us what are we about to see?
All right, so this is my last chance, so I'll give my plugs here. I'm like, Christy, she buys the premium, you know, I want to get on the show.
Right.
Premium. I'm like the Marty Roth field filler. I'm the $7 a month Jeremiah Morrill Pizza
Jeremiah
Society.
Jeremiah Port Pizza Society.
But I do get on the show just at the back of the pack.
Right.
And I'll shamelessly plug Rex Bell as well. We've got 3 statewide debates coming up, so jump on electrecbell.com, make your donation. I'm his campaign manager for the next... How many days we got left, Sarah?
She has 50, 40, 53.
It's like, yeah, 43 days. We're almost done. We're almost there.
Future state chair of the LPIN here?
No, not anytime in the next forever.
Final thoughts
so
on
anyway,
the debate.
On the debate, I really think that it's going to come down to Hillary's tone. If she can not come off shrill, I think she's going to do okay. And I think she's going to outpace Donald. I think he is going to... get lost in the policy and have an Aleppo moment.
Greg?
I'm just going to read to you the tweet I just received from the Trump campaign. Or not the tweet, the actual text message.
Uh-huh.
It's a movement. Watch the Trump train tonight. Time for crooked Hillary to face her record. Watch the debate at 9 Eastern Daylight Time at DonaldJTrump.com. #TeamTrump. But no, for real, I think that if it's a wash, which I think it will be, because I don't think Hillary's capable of winning the debate, she can only lose it.
Yeah.
I think that ultimately Donald Trump ends up carrying Pennsylvania and Virginia and North Carolina, and that's the election.
Great. I think that Hillary's campaign is actually very fragile, and a lot of her campaign is built on Donald Trump, and anytime you give away your power to somebody else, you run a major risk of having them... seize that power and smash your chances at the presidency or relationship or job or whatever. So I think that that it's a big miscalculation, and I don't know that she survives these 3 debates. James doesn't think she survives them physically.
Until she's removed.
I don't know that her campaign can survive 3 debates because Donald Trump, I think, will be very robotic, very policy-oriented tonight. Because that's what people don't expect. He always does the opposite of what we expect. But at some point in one of these 3, he's going to launch a grenade at her that's going to just blow up her presidential chances.
It'll either win him the election or cost him that one moniker that he throws or that one right hook.
So we're going to watch the debate on the big screen here tonight. We're going to show it up here. We're going to watch NBC. Greg and I are going to have mics, and we'll give very low, gentle commentary so we're not interrupting the watching of the debate, but also, you know, Mystery Science Theater 3000-ing it a little bit. So please stick around, watch the debate with us. make sure to buy. I want some tachos because their tachos here are really good. They had the tachos. She's had the tachos. Everybody should have the tachos. If for some reason we have some sort of issue with this, there's a bar upstairs, and we're going to go watch it up there on their two TVs up there where we can continue to drink because this is the future of our country. All right, thank you all for joining us here on We Are Libertarians Live. We appreciate it so much. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.